Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Leskin broadcasting with Discovery Institute, Center for Science and Culture, here in Seattle, Washington. And today we have on our show a very unique guest, an undergraduate at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, named James Hoskins, who has a gift for writing short stories and has recently written a couple short stories for his studies at the University of Missouri, Kansas City on evolution and intelligent design. And it sometimes could be difficult to imagine what would a short story look like on evolution and intelligent design. Well, you'll just have to listen to the rest of the podcast to find out. So, James, thank you very much for being on our show today.
Thanks, Casey. A pleasure.
I guess first, could you tell our listeners a little about what you are studying at University of Missouri, Kansas City, and what your academic interests are?
Well, I'm a philosophy major, so I'm studying a lot of philosophy. I want to teach on the college level, so eventually I want to become a philosophy professor. So I have quite a bit of school ahead of me, and I have interests in philosophy of science, philosophy of religion, and ethics are my main areas that really fascinate me the most.
Well, I wish you the best with that, James. Now, maybe I could ask you, what got you interested in intelligent design?
Really, just questions about the existence of God. And also, I went to public schools, so I was taught Darwinian evolution in school, and it kind of conflicted with what I was taught at church growing up, but there was nothing, no kind of program or thing at church to answer some of my questions, so I kind of really just embarked on a journey of my own to look for the evidence of my faith and study evolution and if there is any evidence of higher intelligence. And so that's really kind of what got me into it and into philosophy in general.
Now, I understand that some of these stories were written for an English class. Is that correct?
One of them was, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your article, A Debate Between Socrates and Hector Dawkins?
That one was inspired by Guillermo Gonzalez's denial of tenure at Iowa State. I just kind of followed that whole ordeal and kind of had some inspiration come out of it. But basically, any time I've come up against someone who I thought was rather dogmatic, I would always imagine, you know, I wonder how they would do in a debate with Socrates, because Socrates was really good at debate and interrogation. So I kind of just had this idea of, you know, what would happen if a materialist got into a debate with Socrates, how would he fare? And so I kind of just wrote a dialogue kind of modeled after some of Plato's dialogues of Socrates on the definition of science.
So are you saying that the name Hector Dawkins, those are not just random names that you picked, they actually have some significance?
They have some significance, yes.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that for now. Well, I was wondering if you can read an excerpt from your short story, A Debate Between Socrates and Hector Dawkins, for our listeners.
Sure. Hector, the materialist, is trying to define science in a way that will exclude intelligent design theory, and Socrates is questioning him, asking him to offer a more accurate definition of science.
Okay.
So Hector says, "Science is a search for causes. It can only deal with natural things. Intelligent design posits a God, which by definition is outside nature and therefore outside science." Socrates responds, "Intelligent design also searches for causes. It simply concludes that some causes are intelligent. Again, ID the theory does not posit a God. It simply posits intelligence, and the intelligence is not necessarily outside nature." Oh, give me a break. An intelligence that designed life or the universe? Everyone knows that means God. So you are rejecting intelligent design theory not because it is unscientific, but because it has theistic implications? No, that's not right. It's not science. Science must be restricted to methodological naturalism. ID falls outside that boundary. Well then, science cannot also be the search for truth. If science is restricted to methodological naturalism, then a more accurate definition would be, science is the search for exclusively materialistic theories of the world. That is much more narrow and agenda-driven than simply the search for truth. No, I still believe that science is the search for truth. I'm just having trouble explaining how ID is unscientific. Perhaps, Hector, you're having trouble because ID is in fact a valid scientific theory, regardless of whether it is true or not. The problem is that you're trying to reject it a priori. It cannot be done, except by arbitrary and dogmatic means. If you want to reject ID, you must engage its arguments and falsify it empirically, not avoid the debate entirely.
Well, that really captures, I think, the caricature of how this debate goes around. As a matter of fact, you may have encapsulated the entire Dover case right there. And unfortunately, the judge decided to believe Hector Dawkins rather than Socrates.
Yeah.
By the way, all of James Hoskins' work has been posted on the ID Arts blog, idarts.org. And it's a wonderful place to see people who are exploring design and nature through the arts. However, you've written a very interesting other piece that I really found fascinating because you start off reading it. It's called Confessions. And James, your piece Confessions, I really enjoyed it because it really puts sort of an alternate universe twist on the whole debate. What would it be like if the materialists had all of the power and they were the ones trying to stifle thought and free expression among the public? Oh, wait a second. Maybe that's not an alternate universe. But I'd like you to maybe explain, what is this piece?
It kind of was inspired by an experience I had at school. I attended a seminar called Was Darwin Right? And it was hosted by the student Muslim organization. And they showed a video that presented intelligent design in a positive light and offered criticisms of evolution. After the video, they opened it up to some Q&A, and there were some people in the audience, a biology professor and a few biology students, that kind of started to attack the Muslim host, say that the video is propaganda. And so I kind of came to his defense and found myself in a debate with these biology students and professor. And it didn't really end well, it just kind of ended in frustration. And so that was kind of the idea that led me to write this story. But the main concept was I felt like people aren't free to doubt evolution. And that seems very much like a religious dogma when people aren't free to doubt a dogma. And so I started to realize that Darwinism has all the identifiable marks of a religion, and so it gave me this idea of what if a young man was having doubts about his faith and went to talk to a priest about it, but the situation was reversed and the priest was a materialist and the young man was having doubts about Darwinism, not necessarily about belief in God. And so I kind of wrote this story and reversed the dogmatic roles of the religion and doubt. So the story is mainly a dialogue between Adam, the young man who's having struggles with his faith in Darwinism, and the priest, Father Anthony, who's trying to calm his worries and answer his questions.
So can you read an excerpt for us then?
Sure. This is where Father Anthony is arguing why it is wrong that we should allow criticism of evolution in public schools. So he's telling Adam, he says, "They want to have both arguments presented in the classroom and leave it up to the students to decide which is true. What could be more wicked? It opens our doctrine up to heretical criticism, and worst of all, it endangers the authority of the church and the priesthood to say what is science and what is not." "But Father Anthony, if we're so certain our view is true, then shouldn't we welcome criticism? Wouldn't allowing students to see a fair contrast between the two views simply reinforce their belief that the church's view is the true one?" "It may seem so, but as I said earlier, the lies of the enemy are always pleasant to the ear. Such young, impressionable brains are easily misled. You were. Do you want your classmates' blood on your hands?" "No." "Okay, then. Besides, the Psalms of Lenin urge us to imagine how peaceful and wonderful the world would be if belief in the supernatural were eliminated. How perfect the world would be if everyone thought exactly the same." Adam shook his head. "That just doesn't seem right." "Adam, these aren't my words. I'm simply quoting from the Holy Canon. Are you doubting its authority, too? Do you still believe it is chance-inspired?" "I guess. I don't know, Father. I want to believe. A lot of this is just hard to swallow. I still don't understand how it has been proved that life is a product of chance." "I know it's difficult to understand, son, but we must assume that life is the product of a non-intelligent cause."
Well, that's very wonderful, James, and I really enjoy this piece, and I would encourage our listeners to go to idarts.org where they can read the full versions of both Confessions and a debate between Socrates and Hector Dawkins. And James, your piece Confessions was published in a writing journal at your school, is that not correct?
Yes, it was published in Number One magazine, which is the student literary journal there at UMKC.
And you had a little story about how they actually wanted you to edit some parts of your story to make it less hostile towards Darwinism. Is that true?
Yes, they agreed to publish it, but they wanted me to censor part of it because they thought it would be offensive. And what was kind of funny was the part of the story they wanted me to censor was really kind of a joke. I kind of made a joke in the story about Kansas being like hell to Darwinists because no one there believes in Darwin's theory, and kind of similar to hell, you know, people won't believe in God or whatever, you know. So I kind of made this joke of like, you know, Kansas is hell. And they thought that that could be offensive, and I didn't really understand. You know, I kind of asked them, like, well, I don't understand who this would be offensive to, because people that live in Kansas are obviously going to understand the joke. You know, I thought the only, I just told them, you know, the only people that I can see this being offensive to is someone who would actually think like character Father Anthony, and frankly, I didn't mind if they were offended.
Well, as usual, censorship only seems to work in one direction in this debate, but I'm glad you got your story published regardless. James, I guess my final question for you would be, do you have any future plans to do more writing in the area of intelligent design and evolution?
Yeah, I do. I have some things in the works, and I kind of quite often will just have these silly little ideas that come through my mind and try to take some time to write them down. But ID Arts has been in contact with me about wanting me to write more for them in the future. So I think there will be more to come.
That's really great. I really appreciate you being on our show with us today, James, and I wish you the best in your studies and your future studies and in your writing career.
Well, thanks so much, Casey.
All right. Well, this is Casey Luskin. Thank you for listening. This is the ID the Future podcast, signing off.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.